Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson, pa-pa-pa.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
It's Life Logistics again. We've got some of your problems to solve. If you've sent any grudges in over the last week, as we asked for them last time out, do not worry, because we'll get round to the grudges in the new year. We've pre-recorded this episode last week, so, you know, we haven't read your fucking grudges yet. But we've got lots to get through, because we've got lots of logistics that people have been sending in. We're trying to get through the backlog. Again, another Christmas one, Sam. We spent a lot of Christmas time last week. Chris Stockwell says, what are the best words to use when you open a present and it's shit? It's quite tricky to feign joy when all you're feeling is burning, searing rejection and emotional pain when you've been given something that's shit. I remember when I was about 14, I think I was 14, and I just opened one of those junior saver accounts that you have at the bank, where you'd get a free wallet. The best bank, I think it was NatWest, they give you a piggy bank.
Oh, yeah. That was a pig. So Nathaniel Westminster, he was the top one. Yeah.
Yes, I didn't. I was with Barclays. I didn't get that. Because the whole family was with Barclays, so I had to go with Barclays as well.
It was
far too much of a fucking leap for them to open a bank account at a different bank for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to be Barclays as well.
We're a Barclays family, we always have been.
But thing was, in Shiny Row, where I lived, which I've told you about before, there was only one bank in Shiny Row itself, Barclays. So that was where you did your banking. So to go to NatWest would have meant a bus ride or a car trip. So
that's what usually happens. I was with HSBC because when I went to university, there was one bank on the campus, and when you all arrive, you got to open a fucking bank account, and there was just one bank on the campus, and you just fucking open it there. But as a result of that, I have always been quite sort of tribal about it. So, like, when there was the banking crash in 2008, all the banks were, like, fucked, and they were going to shut down. There's all this shit. And every day I read in the paper that the only one that wasn't really badly fucked was HSBC. And I was, like, proper, like, football about it. I was like, fucking go on.
Yeah.
Fucking HSBC. Fucking told you.
League.
They're fucking proper, right? Fucking proper. Everything went shit. Everyone else dropped their fucking bollocks, right? But HSBC are fucking proper, yeah? They stood fucking firm. And I got really tribal about it, and I'm still a bit like that now. But, you know, at the end of the day, I only opened it because it was the only campus that required me not to go more than 20 metres from my fucking dormitory.
Bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a Barclays one. And I'd opened this junior savers account. It was my birthday, and my folks said, you know, what do you want for your birthday? I was at that age where I said, oh, I'll just have money, and then I can spend it as I want, you know, on records, obviously, because that's what I spent all my money on. So come my birthday, there's my birthday card. Open the birthday card. Inside is a cheque for the money that I'd asked for. So the idea was that I have to go to Barclays and pay this fucking cheque into my junior savers account, And then do what? What? Then get it out over the counter?
Don't worry. Fucking Sir John Barclay gets to wet his beak then as well. Not to mention what? Sir John fucking HM Revenue and Customs, right?
Well,
once
yeah,
he's been cashed, once he's been in there, everyone's having a little slice of the
pie. Once it's in the system. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm 14. I just want to go out and buy the new Level 42 album.
Mm.
Fucking, I'm stood here with a check.
Sir John Barclay's is going, yeah, we're having £2 of that, you cunt. Processing fees.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm still bitter about that now. So that's the shittest present I ever got. And if, I kicked off.
If you
I
get a check, off. It might as well be one of those big Pulse Winners checks.
Exactly. Your big cardboard one, yeah. Mm. But it wasn't important enough to get that.
Do you remember do you remember the ads for Access, your flexible friend?
Whoop, whoop, your flexible friend.
Yeah, and some clever cunt at the advertising agency had gone, what we'll do? We'll humanise it by just drawing a face and some hands and legs on it, and the card will become like a bloke. But it'll be a good bloke, and then everyone
not
will
a woman,
want one.
Obviously. We can't have it being a woman.
No one will trust it then.
People will just think it's scatty and can't handle money properly.
Women
got to be a fella.
We've done our research, and apparently the British public think that women are fucking daft as a brush when it comes to money, and especially other women think that.
If you have a credit card, it's a woman. She'll just spend it on lipstick in the bingo. So you can't have that.
But do you remember, Andy, in the series of vignettes created by Access's advertising firm, in which Access, the flexible friend, was a geezer, right? Yeah. Do you remember who his nemesis was?
Ooh, there was a nemesis.
He had
there?
An arch rival.
Was he Cash?
It was the name.
Money.
You're close.
It was money.
You're close. The name of the actual character was Fat Wallet.
Fat Wallet.
And he'd go like, here comes Fat Wallet. And he was like a big fat wallet full of fucking cash. And he was puffing and wheezing and was really like out of shape. Like he had like a cigarette, like he had a lung problem or something. And he's like, oh, here he comes. Fucking Fat Wallet. Old fashioned, fat old cunt, not like me. All thin and plastic. Yeah, right. But, and I remember at the time being a kid thinking, yeah, can't wait till I'm an adult. I'll be getting one of them fucking Access cards. Don't worry about that. That's when you think that if you have that, that's free money. You just run around with a fucking. But if you're listening to this and you're young, to be honest, it is free money, right? So, you know, they don't do Access cards anymore, but just get another one.
But the thing is, you have to pay it back, and sometimes it can take years and years. Especially if you start withdrawing cash from it at a huge interest rate. I speak from personal experience as a younger man.
Me too.
Fucking hell. Don't get a credit card, ever.
Don't get a credit card and then develop a massive cocaine habit, because you will be withdrawing a lot of cash, and at the end of the year when your accountant does your books, he calls up and says, yes, I've nearly finished your tax return. Just a couple of queries. One is, I've noticed that you've cumulatively across the year withdrawn a staggering £3,000 out in cash, which seems rather foolish because they're charging you every single time for a withdrawal. Is there any particular reason for that? Yes, the reason is simple. I have accidentally become addicted to the drug cocaine, and my various dealers across London only accept cash, and I am running so short of actual cash, I've had to start borrowing it from the American Express Company to service my addiction. So I don't know if this is something you can include in my tax return. Perhaps the Inland Revenue will have some sort of loophole for this sort of thing. It may be deductible as an expense. I think, after all, in the media.
It might be classed as research and development.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I do work in the media industry, so I think it counts as a legitimate expense. Nightmare. That's always good advice as well. Don't become a drug addict.
Back then, when they would tell you to get Access, if you wanted to spend something on your Access card in a shop, you'd have to hand it over. Then they'd have to get that machine thing out, put it in, put the slip of paper into the machine.
I love those.
Over the top, and then go and it would imprint your number onto the slip. Then they had to write in how much you were spending. Then they had to get you to fucking sign it. Just pay with cash, you cunt.
Mate.
Quicker. Cash is king.
I obviously was fascinated and delighted and awestruck by the credit card machines you speak of.
Of course. Yeah.
And they had that special carbonized paper, right? That made the imprint of your credit card.
So
and obviously, I've been fucking fixated with these things for years, but I thought only top professionals had access to them. But then,
have you got one? Is that what you're going to tell me?
My good wife, when she was just my good girlfriend, when she started work in the publishing business when we were younger, when she was a junior, she would go along to these book launches. And it was her part of her role when she was younger was to flog books at the book launches. So they'd all celebrating the launch of the book, but you could also go and buy one. And she came
home bookshop.
Dead casual, right? Dead casual. The first time she did this, she came home from one of these book launches and she had a big bag with her. And I went, oh, hello, how did it go? She came back to our little flat and she went, yeah, it was good. It was quite fun. And I said, oh, what's that in your bag? She went, oh, just because I have to sell books.
Don't look at that.
What? She fucking knew, didn't she? She knew me well enough to think, I cannot allow him to know that I have a credit card machine in my possession.
He will spend the evening playing on it.
And that's exactly what happened. She went off to the toilet and she had told me... She had told me that all that was in there was books and some petty cash. Yeah. I wasn't interested in the cash. She didn't need to worry about me nicking the cash.
I've seen cash before, darling.
Yeah, but I have not ever laid my fucking hands on this one of these cunts. Bang, 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 bang. Swipe. Fuck you. You can fucking make a copy of anything, Connor, as long as it's bumpy. Get anything bumpy.
Well... I mean, you know, I worked in Outprice for 5 years, so I'm more than familiar with that machine. But it was always a ball ache because we had the thing where you would swipe the card and then put in the amount at a machine and it would print out the printy thing and then you'd just get them to sign the printy thing. This is before the days of contactless. Yeah. That was easy. But if the printy thing wasn't working or if they had an Amex, which didn't work on the debit card machine... Then they had to get the swipey thing out and do all the fucking rigmarole. What a ball ache. Especially at Christmas. So shout out to anyone. This is the 22nd of December. My deepest sympathies with anybody working in retail this and every other Christmas. It's a fucking nightmare. The customers are invariably cunts. And, you know, you're in me thoughts at all times.
Well, I told you about when my mum went in and asked for a cassette to go with the boombox she had bought me for Christmas. And she went, I just want something with a bit of everything on. And they gave her the hits tape. But she said it wouldn't fit in the stereo. And they said, it will, madam. And she went, no, it fucking won't. She went, don't think I'm an idiot. I'm some daft old bat who's coming here, doesn't understand technology. You are selling me a tape that is not compatible with the stereo I bought. And she fucking got the stereo out in the shop and started demonstrating how the tapes would not fit, the box would not fit into the slot. And then the member of our price staff opened up the cassette and revealed it was two cassettes and slipped it in. So she felt a proper cunt. We talk about that every single Christmas. It's one of us.
Yeah.
But that's just one example. So to you, to me, that's a great funny story. But to you, you're just like, shit like that happens every day at this time of year.
Yeah. Deepest sympathies with all of you that are enjoying.
I'm interested in when you go out the back, though, mate. I go up. Let's say I've gone up and I've got Climby Fisher's Rise to the Occasion. Mm-hmm. I say that because that's a 7-inch single I remember buying once, right? And I go, hello, I would like to purchase this 7-inch single, please. And I hand it to you. And you go, you look at it, sneer a bit. Look at me, look me up and
down. That's a good song, though. I wouldn't sneer.
But you just think, who's this cunt? I was busy doing a crossword a minute ago, right? And then you're like, all right. And then you disappear into the fucking darkened and shadowy little like hallways out the back.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's going down back there?
Just a couple of seconds respite.
What? I thought you were digging around looking for something.
Well, you've just handed me the single. Have you handed me the empty sleeve or have you handed me the single?
Well, what's on the shelf?
If it's a 7-inch, it'll be the empty sleeve.
Okay, so you're going back to get it.
I'm going out the back because it's either stored out the back or sometimes at Christmas, you'll just go out the back.
So you're making up a reason.
Just, yeah.
You just go, oh, I've just got to go back there,
I'll
mate.
I'll just to say to your colleagues at the back, I've got a right cunt here. Just if you need to just...
He's coming to buy fucking Clivey Fisher. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a decent song, but there's something about this kid I don't fucking like.
Yeah, or you'll have someone who's got some really fucking ridiculous query that, and you can't explain to them why they're wrong. So you'll say, I just need to pop at the back for a minute. You go at the back and just go, I've got a right fucking cunt here. Fuck, and you just vent spleen for a few seconds and then gather yourself and then go back out and recommence the transaction.
You have to contend with a lot of Lamparding.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fucking 24 years since I left Our Price, but I still think about it.
You still get Lampard flashbacks.
I still dream about it sometimes.
Fucking hell.
Still dream about it.
You were talking of Lamparding. We got a good message the other day. I wish I could read out. Apologies, because I can't remember who it was from. So you're just after. I can't even remember if you tweeted it or what. But someone said that. Do you remember we were talking about that Jack Grealish thing that got sent over the other week? And it was that picture of him going round on the internet, and he was with a lovely young lady who wasn't wearing a bra or anything on her top part. And he was sort of posing and gurning and giving it the old, oi, 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 like that.
I'm with
and
a naked girl.
Have some of that. And obviously, the only response to that is Jack Grealish, legend, right? Living his best life while he can, right? And someone got in touch and said, yeah, I thought that picture was funny as well. It was sent round on a group, me and a bunch of other mates. He went, and there's quite a few, most people are laughing, but there's quite a few Lampards on there literally writing, well, he's just ruining his chances with England with things like that. And that, I just thought that is fucking perfectly distilled Lamparding right there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's an
I'm
element
sorry,
of that
but you need to uphold certain standards if you want to represent your country at international level.
There's an element of that, I think, in the younger generation at the moment, that kind of Lampard, and they're also the ones who are like disciples of VAR. Oh. The ones who kind of say, yes, but the correct decision is being applied at all times.
Yeah.
And I think there's quite a lot of that more so in younger people than there is in the older generation who are like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that we've said this before, but with football in particular, I think that there's a younger generation who for some reason feel the need to appear to take football much more, to elevate football to something it isn't. So we always say it's a child's game, right? Mm-hmm. But there is, and I also think, you know, like, it used to be a sort of predominantly working class sport, right? Now I think you've got more kids who are a bit posher, who are into football,
right?
And they feel the need, because of the way they've been raised, right? Mm. They feel the need to elevate football, because they're obsessed with football, right? Because loads of us become obsessed with football, because for whatever reasons, it's hard to define, but it's a really compelling, fucking exciting thing to watch, right? And that's why we all become addicted to it. And it just is what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's a child's game that happens to be very, very compelling, especially when you're young. And we're just like, oh, well, that's just life. But a lot of these kids said they've been gone to a private school and they've got sort of parents who think the most important thing in life, Sebastian, is that you must always be intelligent. And everything you engage in must have some sort of intelligence to be worthy or of value, right? And that's what they've been taught, rather than just think, look, it is what it is. Life's there for fucking living. Grab what you can football, when you can.
As we've said before, football is an excuse to legitimise daytime drinking on the weekends.
And these people, they think, I'm into football, and that's fine, they're into football, but then they feel the need to elevate it. They think, I need to sort of somehow intellectualise it. I need to apply some sort of, you know, cerebral fucking status, right, or meaning to the sport. And therefore, things like tactical analysis,
XG,
rules, data, right, that to them means I feel better about myself being into this sport now. So it's all about them feeling better about themselves, because if not, it could almost seem slightly moronic. So a posher sport, right, from people who, generally speaking, might be better educated, has always been cricket, right? I haven't got a problem with cricket. I'm not a massive fan, but I haven't got a problem with it. But cricket is perfect for people who want to apply that sort of thing because it's such a statistics heavy game. And you can almost look at it like a slightly chess-like strategic game of cat and mouse, right? And so applying all of that to football allows these slightly posher young football fans, which you get now, to kind of make themselves feel a little bit less embarrassed, to basically be obsessing over what is ultimately a child's game. And that is my theory.
And that, and I don't know what prompted that. I can't remember now. It was something to do with credit cards.
But some, I heard a bloke. I've heard more than one bloke refer to themselves as scholars of the game.
Ooh.
And then you think, mate, you don't have to say you're a scholar of the game. It's just a game, right? Yeah. A scholar makes it sound as if it's academic. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And like, you need. It doesn't need to be academic. It's not academic. There is no fucking academic status. There is no study of football in that sense, and nor should there be. Don't call yourself a scholar of the game. Say, I like football.
Exactly.
Do you know, you're just like being pretentious. You're making yourself into a twat.
Indeed.
Jalapeño.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
So the question was, what's the best words to use when you open a present and it's shit? And then that led on to me getting a cheque for my birthday once. I don't know. I think you do have to be
polite. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, that's shit. I mean, it's not that much of a struggle. You can always find something. Go, well, thanks a lot. That's really kind. Because it is really kind. Yeah. If some cunt's bought you something, it's kind. Unless some cunt's power playing you with 40 quid in an M4.
40 quid in a card.
Then you go, oh, I see what this is.
Oh, what's going on here?
Oh, well played.
Next one. Another couple of Christmas ones before we wrap it up. Scouse Twit says, do you serve Christmas pudding? Personally, I think it's shite. Should I do it for the one person who likes it? Well, again, it comes back to kindness, doesn't it, really? Mm. I would... well, this is what we do, actually, because not all of us are fans of Christmas pudding. I'm certainly not. I don't get it. I don't understand why it's such a fucking integral part of Christmas, because it's not very nice. We always have Christmas pudding available. And then there's a second option. For example, Viennetta, which is invariably better than Christmas pudding.
If I was at your house, God willing, one day I will be for Christmas Day.
Oh, I hope so too.
Right. I would definitely...
A Channel 5 TV special. Top Play Christmas Machine.
Hello. Live. You know, like Noel Edmonds used to do live, didn't he, from up the telecom
from the
tower?
Hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Live from Andy Dawson's rink in London, in Britain's glamorous northeast. This is Top Flight Christmas Tree. Drone shot from miles up in the sky of it descending down on your rig and through the window.
Down the chimney.
And we're just there, really fat, because we've already been stuffing our faces for days in two armchairs. Whoa. All right. Welcome to Christmas. But I would definitely have Christmas pudding, which I actually do like.
Right.
And I would have it with Viennetta on top because it's Christmas Day. I deserve it. It's a day of indulgence. And actually, a bit of warm Christmas pudding with Viennetta melting on it is really decadent.
Any other day, I wouldn't give you the option, but any other day, you wouldn't have a choice of Christmas pudding anyway, so it would just be Viennetta.
That may make. But, I like every pudding that is on, like, sometimes there'll be, because I, not this year, but sometimes I have a lot of different people round, and everyone brings something. Sometimes there'll be four or five different fucking pudding options. I'll have a bit of all of them, mate.
bit of all of them, yeah, because Christmas, isn't it? Or Arctic roll. You can have Arctic roll if you like.
Oh, yeah. Again, that with something warm so the roll slightly melts.
That's the melt, yeah. So, yeah, serve Christmas pudding. It's a once-a-year thing. Get one from Aldi or Lidl because it'll be a bit cheaper. And they're always better when they do the taste tests.
Mm.
Everything from Aldi and Lidl always scores better than everything else on the taste test. So get one of them in. If there's only one person likes it, that's one person having their Christmas dream come true. Don't be a cunt and say, no, we're not having it because there's only one cunt likes it.
Yeah, you can just get a small one, cheap.
Yeah, it's a time of indulgence, you know, but bend the rules.
Let everyone have a decent option. I had some vegan pigs in blankets yesterday. I know that might sound absolutely revolting to you, but I am
I've got some in for my daughter. How are they?
These were from M&S, and it was a bit of a lie because they said they were pigs in blankets, and I put them in the oven, and they're chorizo-style vegan sausages, which are nice.
Yeah.
And they had something wrapped around them, which I presumed was a vegan bacon, right? Yeah. And what I'm doing at the moment is I'm in a food trialing period in the build-up to the big day. So I'm trialing different products ready for Christmas. And this was a trial out. But when you put them in the oven, when they came out, the stuff wrapped around it was not bacon. It was just pastry. So it was just basically, it wasn't a pig in blanket. It was like a veggie sausage roll.
Yeah.
But it was fucking nice.
I've got some. I was in M&S last week. I got some for my daughter. She's a vegan, obviously.
They've got a really good range for vegans in M&S.
I'm prepared to dig in and try them. Because basically from about the 22nd, 23rd through for about a week, I just exist on party food.
Yeah.
And sweets. I don't have proper meals.
No. Cheese. I have quite a lot of cheese.
Cheese. Yeah. I'll just snack constantly.
Morning, I'll sort of shuffle about in my dressing gown. You'll find yourself watching like Attack of the Clones at like 10 a.m. Right.
Yeah.
And then you'll have like you'll be sitting God's there watching Attack of the Clones at 10 a.m. Right, with a plate with a pickled onion and some Stilton on it.
Oh, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
And two Quality Street. Just fucking watch it. Fucking good, this film, isn't it, son?
I can't wait. That's why we were recording all these episodes early, so we can knock off and start on the 15th.
Ah, son, be a good lad. Go and run to the cupboard and get us some fucking Wotsits, the big bag. there's some left at the back.
And bring us a can of Foster's as well while you're there.
What? You want a Coke? Yeah, I have a Coke. It's fine. Yeah.
I'm not getting on the Stella. It's only 10 in the morning, but I'll have a Foster's.
I'll have a Foster's just to fucking wake me up a bit.
Love it. Oh, Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
So that's the answer to that one. Yeah, get a Christmas pudding in for whoever wants it. Regular correspondent, Transcendence on Twitter. He's the fella who was asking us about doing his house up before he sold it and various subsequent questions he sent in since the house purchase has gone through. I think we've ignored most of them. But he says, no Yorkshire puddings on a Christmas dinner. What the fuck is that all about? Am I being tricked?
What?
Do you have Yorkshire puddings in your Christmas dinner, Sam?
Not traditionally, but since vegetarianism has become a thing. Well, my wife's always been vegetarian. When I do any roast, I tend to make some form of Yorkshire pudding, sometimes as a toad in the hole style thing with some veggie sausages in, because it's a good vegetarian option to have Yorkshire pudding. But traditionally, when I was younger, ate turkey in our house, we would never have had Yorkshire pudding with Christmas dinner.
No.
I mean, I'm not really a stickler for rules at all at Christmas. Have what you want, really. But I would not see it as a traditional part of all the trimmings.
I'm doing them this year because my son loves them.
I mean, they're fucking nice.
He'll have Yorkshire puddings as his lunch.
Yeah.
He'll have, you know, you get six Yorkshire puddings in a packet from Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Fresh, just to stick in the oven for 4 minutes. He'll have them. It's just the same as a pancake, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's very versatile. You can do anything with Yorkshire pudding. I make them. I make the batter. Then you get the oil so fucking hot, right, that it's fucking mad. You send it mad, so
mad
it's
oil.
It's spitting and going fucking. It's lunatic oil, right? got it in their oven on high, the highest you can go for like fucking 45 minutes before you've even done the mixture. Then when you get it out very carefully and it's going fucking mad like a mad snake that's lost its mind, when you pour the batter into that oil, right, then the real fucking party starts and you see the batter cooking immediately in the oil when it's not even in the oven yet.
Yeah.
And then you stick it in the oven and all for good measure. And you go,
I've never been brave enough. I've never been brave enough to make me own Yorkshire pudding, Sam.
Well, I'll send you...
I need to rectify that, don't I?
I'll send you a good recipe, because once you get into it, you get really into it, because it's one of those...
I ain't got a tin. I ain't got a Yorkshire pudding tin.
It's really simple. It's one of those simple things, but it looks dead flash. So all you do is you make batter, heat up some oil, chuck it in the oven. That's it. But when it comes out of the oven, right, it'll have like bloomed into like an enormous fucking puffy shape.
Yeah, I know what a Yorkshire pudding looks like.
No, I know, but it looks so big and irregular, it looks more impressive than the sort of uniform ones, right? So it looks like you've done something tremendously skilled, but it's
piece
not.
Piece of art.
And when you stick it on table, if you make like...
Oh, maybe it is.
If you make it with the sausages in as well, right?
Mm.
And you stick that on the table and go, get stuck into that, cunts. People think, whoa, this guy's fucking pro, mate.
This guy's serious. Yeah. I've told you before about my gran, when I used to get a roast dinner at my gran's house. I used to go there for my school lunch, because she lived across the road from junior school. So I didn't have school dinners. I just went to my gran's and she'd do me dinner for us.
Yeah.
She would do a roast dinner, but you'd get a Yorkshire pudding. Not every day, probably once a week.
Yeah.
Some days it would just be like fucking Spam and Chips, which was all right, and I still enjoy Sounds Spam and Chips good, as a result. She would do the Yorkshire pudding as the starter, because it would be fucking massive, and it would fill half the plate.
Would you have gravy so on it?
Yeah, Yorkshire pudding and gravy, and that was it. Eat that first, you cunt.
Yeah.
And then you get the rest of it.
Well,
when
it's like our answer to the poppadom.
Yeah.
But my mate Ollie's fucking neurotic, right? I remember once I went to his house for it and we got a takeaway. And I think it was when he was first married. So he might have been trying to act fancy in front of his wife, but getting the wrong end of the stick of how to act fancy. She's a bit fancier than him. And the curry arrived and it was at his house. And I was like, right, great, right? And I started just fucking digging into this curry, like serving a load of it into a plate, onto a plate for myself, and started scoffing it. And he went like this. He went, Sam! And I went, what? And he went, poppadoms first. And I went, what? And he was sat there and he was trying to make out that because in a restaurant, right, you go and they go, do you want some poppadoms? And they bring them to you and you have your beer in a poppadom while you're checking out the menu. He thought that was because it was a starter. And what I tend to do is I'll palm my plate. When I get takeaway, I'll palm my plate with curry. I'll grab a poppadom, keep that to the side, right? I'll munch on it as I go along. But I'm getting it all down once. He was like, poppadoms first? We went into a fucking panic about it. I went, what the fuck are you talking about, you mad cunt? He went, you put poppadoms beneath the curry until we've had our poppadoms. I said, are you fucking telling me that we're going to sit here like a pair of cunts and go through all of these poppadoms, right, all of them.
While the curry goes cold.
Eat the whole fucking bag of poppadoms, and only then will we embark upon our fucking curry.
Yes. Oh, shit.
The poppadoms are the starter. Fuck. Fuck are they? I've paid half of this. I'll eat it how I want, when I want, mate.
If that's the way it's supposed to work, then when you get a curry delivered, that should come in two consignments. They arrive with the poppadoms first, and then 15 minutes later, they turn up with your curry afterwards.
Yeah, and or if they won't do it like that, just do two orders. Order some poppadoms from one curry house on Uber Eats, and then order a curry from Deliveroo from another curry house.
Your poppadoms are here, mate.
Right, and fucking just leave a 20-minute fucking gap. What's the smallest thing you've attempted to order on Uber Eats or Deliveroo or whatever? Because my brother-in-law, he'll fuck it. I mean, I had huge respect for him one morning when I was around his house and he was hungover and he was sort of sitting there and, you know, like the kids are running around, it's a bit chaotic, and he was like, fuck. And then he had that, I could see he had one of those hungover hungers on. right, where it's like it gets a bit desperate and you need something pretty greasy and dirty at short notice. Yeah. But you're so hungover there, you can't even be bothered. The idea of even toasting a bit of toast is like revolting to you.
Yeah, so he's just talking to me and he just casually goes, oh, I'll just get myself I'll just get myself a quick cheese croissant, right? And I went, where are you getting that from? And he went, I'll get it from fucking Deliveroo. There's a fucking baker up the road that delivers. And it was just like up the top of the street. And a fucking courier came round 15 minutes later or less. And all it was a single fucking cheese croissant in a bag. And he gave it to him.
Fucking hell.
It had cost like £2.
Fucking hell.
And then, but well, then he'll do it throughout the day. That's how he uses it. He'll just, when he's hungry, he'll just get a small thing. Whereas I'm a bit,
I feel guilty, right? So I'll not be that hungry. But I think, oh, I'm only on my own. So I've ordered myself a vegetarian korma and rice. It's all I want.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I feel a bit bad getting them out just for that amount. So I'm going to order some other shit that I don't even want. Why?
I think we've had this conversation a few weeks ago because it was when Greg's launched, I think, on Just Eat.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea of getting a Greg's delivered to my house is great, but I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't get a pasty delivered to the house.
Yeah, again, you're slightly conscious of, like, the planet dying as well. Do you know what I mean?
Well, there's that. But you know what? This pandemic, we talk about the NHS, quite rightly, the NHS staff and the teachers and the people who are in the forefront of it all put themselves at risk. But fucking hell, delivery people... They're exposing themselves to people in situations every day. They're on the front line and they're not getting the praise they deserve.
The whole pandemic, all it's shown up is, like, if you watch dystopian films, like, for instance, The Hunger Games, and the way in which pretty much all dystopian films portray a really vivid and explicit divide between the haves and have-nots in society.
Exactly. I was just going to say this.
And that is really what this... pandemic has created, or perhaps all it's done is highlighted what was already there, because the truth is it's completely economic, this whole fucking pandemic. It's one, like everything, it's fucking 100% socioeconomics, right? Because if you are, you know, and I count myself as one, if I am privileged enough to be able to fucking earn a living from home, right, my kids go to schools right near where I live, blah 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 blah, right, then you're on fucking easy street. You're getting your fucking food delivered to you from supermarkets. You're getting other shit delivered by fucking Jeff Bezos or whoever. Do you know what I mean?
And you
just think, fucking good. This is the only difference for me, is I don't have to fucking get up and go anywhere in the morning. Great, right?
Yeah.
It is entirely fucking socioeconomic, because there is the people who are fucking suffering and the people who have no fucking choice but to carry on going out every day. And people say, and the frontline workers like the NHS, they get all the praise and they get us applauding, and rightly so. But you're right, there are people, there's the delivery people, there's all sorts of fucking people. There's people, you know, I've got a mate who stacks shelves in Sainsbury's, you know, and I said to him when I caught up with him, oh, how's it been with COVID? This was like much earlier in the year. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like,
well, is it safe at your work? Do they take measures? Are you allowed to have time off? And he was just like, he couldn't compute what I was. He was like, what? Barely aware of the virus, in as much as it being a thing that you had to observe in your life. Mm-hmm. Because observing it and worrying about it and protecting yourself and being careful is a luxury that only some of us have, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Yorkshire puddings on Christmas dinner. again, it's up to you. Do what you fucking want. If you're the host, not out some Yorkshire puddings. If you're not the host, politely ask for some. What's the worst that can happen?
In some sense, tradition is a bit Lampard-y.
Take your own along.
Tradition, for tradition's sake, is Lampard-y. As it happens, a lot of things that you only have once at Christmas, I happen to look forward to. Do you know what I mean? So for me, I'll have a lot of the traditional things. But it's a bit lambasty. But that's what we always have. Or you get kids, don't you, who are now adults, man children, going back at Christmas to their parents' house going, but mother, we always have parsnips. It's tradition. Why are we having parsnips? And she's like, fucking grow up, right?
The best. It's like sometimes on Twitter, I'll tweet if I have a chippy tea.
Yeah.
I'll just put chippy tea and then hashtag chippy tea. And invariably some cunt will reply, but it isn't Friday.
Oh, for fuck's sake. And like, The best way that was captured was an episode of Peep Show where the Olivia Colman character goes back to her house, to her mum and dad's place for the weekend because it's her birthday. And Mark goes with her because they're dating at the time. Mm-hmm. And he's sat there fucking dreading the whole, oh, fucking hell, what am I doing here? And it's her birthday morning. And she's like, they're supposed to be like in their early 30s or something, aren't they? And she comes out and is wearing this fucking preposterous sort of cone hat like a princess with something hanging it off it. And she has to come, and she comes out with this big smile on her face, and she does this little dance as she comes down the stairs, and they all like beat this weird drum. And the Mark character, you know, you hear his thoughts, and he's thinking, Jesus Christ, this is like a cult, right? And you think, that's what loads of people are like, and you hear it at Christmas. What did you do at Christmas? Yeah. It's always the slightly posher ones. Oh, we're back to my folks. We do a sort of a thing. Yeah. It's kind of tradition. I mean, it's pretty lame, but it's just what we do. We kind of, we all go out to the church and we do a weird dance, and then my father sucks off my uncle, and it's just a thing that we do in our family.
Fucking Lampard traditionalists.
Stop it.
The thing is, right, just have what you want. My brother-in-law, my wife told me this, when they were like teenagers, one year he was vegetarian, right, and they said, what do you want? And they said, you can have whatever you want. It's Christmas, you're vegetarian, not having to tell you what you want. You know what he had? Fucking pot noodle, because he was 14 years old and that's what he was into at the time. So they got him a pot noodle and he sat and ate that on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
because it's Christmas Day, have what you fucking want.
Everybody wants to be happy. While you're talking about Mitchell and Webb and Peep Short, if you didn't see it the first time it was on, the sitcom Back, which is on Channel 4, which stars them and was written by Simon Blackwell.
Is this a new show?
Sorry?
Is that a new programme or an old programme?
It's an old one that was on about 2 years ago. It's been repeated and it's on all four, catch up. And it's fucking brilliant. If you didn't see it first time round, watch that over the Christmas holidays. Series 2's coming in January or February, I think. That's dead good. That's it, I reckon, from this one, Sam.
Yeah.
We've answered 3 questions, I think, this week. That's quite
better than usual.
Yeah, so this is the last Life Logistics before Christmas, so have a very, very wonderful time.
It was the last Life Logistics before Christmas. And all the little mice gathered round to listen to how Andy and Sam were going to fix their Christmassy problems.
Merry Christmas.
Goodbye, everyone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.